Chapter 10. Lufkin was finishing his second day in Cairo with dinner at a sidewalk cafe on Shari El Corniche in the Garden City section of the city. He sipped strong black coffee and watched the merchants close their shops, sellers of rugs and brass pots and leather bags and linens from Pakistan, all for the tourists. Less than 20 feet away, an ancient vendor meticulously folded his tent, then left his spot without a trace. Lufkin looked very much the part of a modern Arab. White slacks, light khaki jacket, a white vented fedora with the bill down close to his eyes. He watched the world from behind a hat and a pair of sunshades. He kept his face and arms tanned and his dark hair cut very short. He spoke perfect Arabic and moved with ease from Beirut to Damascus to Cairo. His room was at the Hotel El Nil on the edge of the Nile River, six crowded blocks away, and as he drifted through the city, he was suddenly joined by a tall, thin foreigner of some breed with only passable English. They knew each other well enough to trust each other and continued their walk.
"We think tonight is the night,"
the contact said, his eyes also hidden. "Go on."
"There's a party at the embassy."
"I know."
"Yes, a nice setting. Lots of traffic. The bomb will be in the van."
"What kind of van?"
"We don't know."
"Anything else?"
"No,"
he said, then vanished in a swarming crowd. Lufkin drank a Pepsi in a hotel bar alone and thought about calling Teddy, but it had been 4 days since he'd seen him at Langley, and Teddy had made no contact. They'd been through this before. Teddy was not going to intervene. Cairo was a dangerous place for Westerners these days, and no one could effectively blame the CIA for not stopping an attack. There would be the usual grandstanding and finger-pointing, but the terror would quickly be shoved into the recesses of the national memory, then forgotten. There was a campaign at hand, and the world moved fast anyway. With so many attacks and assaults and mindless violence, both at home and abroad, the American people had become hardened. 24-hour news, non-stop flashpoints, the world always with a crisis somewhere. Late-breaking stories, a shock here and a shock there, and before long, you couldn't keep up with events. Lufkin left the bar and went to his room. From his window on the fourth floor, the city rambled forever, built helter-skelter over the centuries. The roof of the American Embassy was directly in front of him, a mile away. He opened a paperback Louis L'Amour and waited for the fireworks. The truck was a 2-ton Volvo panel van, loaded from floor to ceiling with 3,000 pounds of plastic explosives made in Romania. Its store happily advertised the services of a well-known caterer in the city, a company which made frequent visits to most of the Western embassies. It was parked near the service entrance, in the basement. The driver of the truck had been a large, friendly Egyptian called Sheikh by the Marines who guarded the embassy. Sheikh passed through often, hauling food and supplies to and from social events. Sheikh was now dead on the floor of his truck, a bullet in his brain. At 10:20, the bomb was detonated by a remote device operated by a terrorist hiding across the street. As soon as he pushed the right buttons, he ducked behind a car, afraid to look. The explosion ripped out supporting columns deep in the basement, so the embassy fell to one side. Debris rained for blocks. Most of the nearby buildings suffered structural damage. Windows within a quarter of a mile were cracked. Lufkin was napping in his chair when the quake came. He jumped to his feet, walked onto his narrow balcony, and watched the cloud of dust. The roof of the embassy was no longer visible. Within minutes, flames were seen, and the interminable sirens began. He propped his chair against the railing of the balcony and settled in for the duration. There would be no sleep. 6 minutes after the explosion, the electricity in Garden City went out, and Cairo was dark. except for the orange glow of the American embassy. He called Teddy. When the technician, Teddy's sanitizer, assured Lufkin the line was secure, the old man's voice came through as clearly as if they were chatting from New York to Boston.
Yes, Maynard here.
I'm in Cairo, Teddy, watching our embassy go up in smoke.
When did it happen?
Less than 10 minutes ago.
How big?
Hard to tell. I'm in a hotel a mile away. Massive, I'd say.
Call me in an hour. I'll stay here at the office tonight.
Done.